Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Ooh. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Check them out. They appreciate it. Good morning, good morning. It is August the 6th, 2021. Friday. If I was to wrap this day up this morning in one word, I'd have to say spectacular. Beautiful out this morning, low humidity. Eh, it's a little humid, but just a real great morning. It's that time, August. The sun, someone said, oh, it's hot. I remember when it used to be hotter in August. I don't know. People always have these memories, and they want to sum it all up. Back in the day, it used to be a lot hotter in August. I'm like, well, that would kind of be different because most people are saying that it's now hotter, right? We're having global warming. Believe that or not, I don't know. But I was saying, you know, you can only get so hot. I mean, the sun is even not even in the sky as long as it usually is, you know. And where I run in the mornings, I can just tell the time. I mean, obviously, just by the temperature, but you know, when I run in the winter, the sun comes up at a different spot. It comes up farther to the right, stays more to the right, and it isn't even in the sky as long throughout the day. I mean, the days are shorter in the winter, but when you look at when you're in the summer and I run to this bridge, the sun comes right up over the water, right up through this picturesque like little tributary that goes under a bridge with marsh on both sides, and the sun comes right up the center. You know, the sun's in a different spot. It's in the sun, in the sky longer, and it's warmer. So just for the fact that it's not in the sky as long is a good reason why it shouldn't be as hot. But, you know, everybody's a meteorologist and everybody's a historian. So, I don't know. Topic lately is that today the president, your president, Joe Biden, President Joe Biden is coming to town. I've talked about it before. Joe Biden lives here or has a house here, has a second house here. I don't know how many houses that guy's got, honestly, but he has a house here. And so they're coming down and, you know, I have to do a client today because they moved away and they actually own a plane. So they come back and forth and they were going to come in, today, but they had to come in tomorrow because of the Joe Biden. Apparently, when the guy comes in, it's a whole shift in life around here. And but I think I've talked about it before. I think it's very cool that the president lives here or has a house here. People, you know, and oh my God, you should hear the folks. Oh, president comes down, wrecks traffic, always ruining traffic. I'm like, no. President's been here one time. He was here, I don't know, maybe 6-8 weeks ago on a Wednesday for the first lady, right? It was her birthday. So they came down on a Wednesday, left on a Friday. Marine One brings them in. It's not like they're driving. Now, there was some time the president came a couple times when he was the president-elect, and his motorcade came down, which is pretty cool still. I mean, I fucking think anytime you see a motorcade, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. And but he came down a couple times. I actually videotaped his motorcade leaving one day. I shared the story on the podcast where the by a motorcycle cop was in the middle of the intersection. I was like, oh, Biden's coming. And we beelined it out of there and went over to Home Depot and then just parked. And then sure enough, I'd say 45 seconds later, this motorcade came through. I mean, it was freaking cool. I love that stuff. I think that stuff is so cool. My wife and I love the West Wing. We're about to finish it. We were watching it last night. And they're in the presidential election. Matt Santos and Arnie Vinnick. And it's the battle. And, you know, but eventually, I don't know how many more episodes we have left, but then we'll start it over. It's just a good show. It's a time killer. And when not much is going on, yeah, we just refer back to the West Wing. So I always enjoy that kind of stuff. So for me, the president coming down, I think is super cool. It definitely does change a lot of things. We do live at the beach, so you have your banner planes. They will not be able to fly. I don't know exactly. I want to say a 50-mile radius around his house. It may be bigger. But there is a giant bubble around the president's house when he is here, and there is no flying. But whatever. I wasn't gonna fly today anyway. But like I said, it is a so that's an interesting thing going on this week. Been very busy. The town is it's peaking, right? I went to the local convenience store this morning because my son had his friends over last night. I'll share a little bit of that story, but you know, I needed to go get some stuff, and we were out of coffee, and so I went down there. And I mean, the place is just a wreck. I mean, everything at this point of the year is just a wreck. I mean, it's so many people are here. I mean, this is a special year, and I don't mean special in a good way. It's special, but because that, I've complained about it, and I'm trying to be less annoyed about it. But I see it everywhere, comments everywhere. This is the worst year we've ever had. I mean, it is bad. Hopefully it'll start to figure itself out. But I went to the store this morning and just looked wrecked. I mean, the people there working are wrecked, packed with people. I mean, I was coming to work this morning, 8:15, traffic jam out there on the highway. It's like, it's just the peak. Everyone's getting their last vacation in, last family time before school gets going, and so it's just crazy. But my son, you know, I had to go to the grocery store this morning and get my kids some food because my son had his had some friends over last night. He's like, Dad, Kanye's album's dropping and this other album's dropping. And I was just going to have my friends over. We're just going to sit out on the porch and Kanye's album's dropping at midnight. And I was like, my first thought was, oh, hell no. Hell no. Midnight with a bunch of friends sitting outside? Forget about it. But then I was like, you know what? Why not? Sounds awesome. And, you know, I remember my parents used to say, well, at least we know where they're at. And it's not like my son at 15, turning 16 in 20 days, in fact, in 20 days he turned 16. It's not like they're out running the streets, but they wanted to hang out. And I was like, you know what? Go for it. So they hung out. I remember I woke up last night at like 1:30, and they were still outside on the porch just watching a show on someone's phone and laughing and having a lot of fun. And I was like, you know what? Good for them. Very, very cool. I love that stuff. I think it's really cool. So I had to go to the grocery store this morning, get them food, dropped it off, peanut butter and many sorts of bread products, bagels, bread, I don't know, whatever, peanut butter, cream cheese. I'm like, here you go, feed yourself. And I had to go to work. But it is a, you know, it's a great day. Everything is going well. You know, I saw, I don't even know if I want to even talk about it. I guess I will a little bit. I saw somebody posted on Facebook that their son passed away in the ocean yesterday in Ocean City. And my thoughts and prayers are with that family. I could not even imagine. The lady wrote that her son walked into the ocean and never came out. And I was like, oh, my God. It's like our worst nightmare, right, to lose a child. And then I saw an article, they found his body, and it was, you know, it was bad. Got stuck, pulled down a riptide. You know, if you're ever in a riptide, go with the flow. Go with the flow. I always tell my kids, if you get pulled out, just get to your back, just flow and wait it out. And once you get taken out, just work yourself one way to the other, to the right or left, and then work yourself back to the beach. Don't panic. Don't panic. It's not taking you all the way out to the middle of the ocean. You know, it's just a weird feeling being pulled out by a riptide. It's happened to me. You get pulled out. You don't have any control. You're going for a ride. And a lot of people panic. So if that happens, just I always tell my kids, just get on your back and float. Float it out. Rest, relax, float. And then when it stops, work yourself one way or the other. Hopefully by then we'll be out there trying to help you, or a lifeguard will be up there trying to help you. But do not panic. We'll get you. And I don't know the circumstances. I guess there was five distressed swimmers, I think I read. They got four of them out. One of them they couldn't find. And this lady was living it on Facebook yesterday, and I was just, it was heartbreaking. And then she posted, they found my baby. I guess her son was 17. You know, thoughts and prayers with that family. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. I told my kids, no more swimming. That's it. But you can't live like that, right? You know, you do everything that you can as a parent. I know that this is how I feel. I do everything I can early and really work on that foundation of a young, hopefully a good person. And you just got to do the best you can and hope for the best. And it's like last night, you know, having the kids come over. I'm like, listen, I have tried to be a good example to my sons and daughter. You know, we know right from wrong. So to them, for them to come over and hang out, I was like, you know what? I always say, listen, until you show me that you are struggling with like being honest or your behavior, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And my son and all his friends are all good boys, got great families. Not that every family isn't great, but, you know, I know their parents and they're just good kids. So it worked out fine. Woke up this morning, my wife's like, their house is full of kids. I was like, yeah, it's kind of cool. You know, I know as a young person, I always thought that would be cool to have kids, you know, doing things and, you know, kind of living together with trust and love. And so yeah, it was, I don't know. I was torn up yesterday. I just couldn't stop thinking about what that family was going through. So like I said, in thoughts and prayers with that family, hopefully the community will surround you and help you get through it.
Newspapers spread on out to me.
It is a it's an interesting thing. So yeah, so good morning. I you know, this whole week has really to me been about, you know, I talked about this earlier in the week, that seventh step, you know, humbly asking him to remove our shortcomings, and I think I shared in the podcast that, you know, as much as I've heard those words and as much as I've nodded my head, yes, you got that right. I really didn't understand what those words were, shortcomings and character defects. So this whole week has just kind of been an eye-opening kind of experience. I mean, I know what they are, but I just, they kind of, they blended together a little bit. And I kind of, for the most part, kind of felt like they were almost one and the same, shortcomings and character defects. And what I've learned just by looking it up and reading and kind of reflecting on it is that they're quite different. And, you know, character defects, you know, we're entirely ready to God remove all of our character defects. You know, compared to what? And what am I comparing to? You know, we don't have, you know, example A, the perfect human to compare to. Even my buddy Matt, you know, and he would be my comparison. But listen, Matt would tell you the same thing. You know, he still had some shit to work on. You know, he'd be the first to admit that. You know, we don't do it perfectly. But like a character, you know, if I was going to say, you know, if I had two shoes, right? I bought these. We went to Mexico one year and I bought these. I didn't bring any running shoes or any like sneakers. So we had to stop. We had to stay at an airport in Philly before our flight. And we went over to the Walmart there and I bought these shoes and they were, you know, you look at both shoes and you put them next to each other. And for the most part, their character of the shoe, their layout, the color, you know, the fabric, the material, the eyelets, whatever the things that the laces go through, the tongue, right? For the most part, side by side, they were shoes. But if all of a sudden you look at, you start looking at them closely and you realize that one of the shoes is missing the eyelet, or maybe a chunk of foam, spongy rubber is missing from one of the sides, right? So now that shoe has now, the character of that shoe has been changed, right? It has now a character defect. And but that's compared to the other shoe. So, you know, trying to understand, first of all, you know, who am I comparing to? That's why I think it's important. It was important for me to have, you know, a sponsor. And listen, we're not all, there is no, nobody's perfect. So, but I think it's the, you know, in the beginning, you know, the character, I was full of a lot of character defects. You know, I was lying, I was cheating, I was stealing, you know, running amok, gluttonous, you know, all of the bad things I was involved in, I was doing it. Because I really didn't know any better. And so when I first came into the program and it was like the Ron M and just the example of just showing up and going to a meeting, right? I mean, let's get down to basics. You know, let's just show up. Let's say, hey, we'll meet here, right? And then we'll show up and then we'll go to the meeting and then we'll come home. And then from there, you know, you're on your own. But let's just start setting some little examples, let's start reprogramming, right? Let's start changing these character defects, you know, lying, stealing. You know, I used to say, I never stole. And it was pointed out that I stole my parents' serenity, which I did. So, you know, when people say, I remember Keith, whatever his last letter was, you're all a bunch of murderers. And everybody clutched their pearls. What? You just didn't happen, but you went through all the motions drunk driving, and that was me. I could have killed somebody. I could have killed a lot of people. I was a drunk driver. I drove. Every time I drank, I drove. I can't say that every time I drove, I'd been drinking, but every time I drank, I probably drove a car. So I could have easily murdered somebody, you know. So he would kind of play off that and say, you're all a bunch of murderers. And everybody would be like, oh, my God, I can't believe you'd say that. And but it's true, you know. So coming into the program and working on these small little things to start reprogramming, and you hang out with people and you start to learn. You know, if I was going to adjust my character when I first came into the program, the people that I would compare it to, other than like, you know, meetings people, the regular people that I hung out with, I actually looked like I probably had pretty good character. You know, because I think the people I were hanging out with might have even been a little worse. So, you know, it's about, I had to figure out who I was comparing to. And when Ron M. came into my life, it gave me a new example of someone to compare myself to. You know, there's, you know, and I mentioned I bought the shoes at Walmart, right? Perfectly good shoes, but you sit them next to some, you know, vintage Air Jordans or something that go for $1,000 or something, all of a sudden my shoes don't look so good, you know? And that's kind of, you know, I wouldn't say Ron M. was a 1,000 pair of Air Jordans, but he was a little bit of a better shoe. And so I had something to compare some character to. You know, I have a t-shirt. We're building character, not characters. You know, because bad character behavior, bad character defects creates a character. You know, I think I live a pretty decent life. I think if I met somebody and had a conversation or an encounter, and then, you know, after the encounter, a conversation was over, I think that most people would say, oh, he seems like a pretty nice guy, right? Pretty good guy. You know, you meet those people that are whatever it is. So, like, if you, and then, you know, trying to figure out what shortcomings are. You know, there's people in my life I know that are great, but they talk so loud. Or they talk too much. You're like, oh, my God, such a great girl. Great person. Talks a lot, though. Right? You know, it's always these little, you know, back in the day, oh, yeah, Tom Arcino, he's a good guy. Giving his parents a run for the money, though, right? I think he's on drugs, drinks too much, lies, cheats, steals. I don't think they would have said all that. But, you know, I had a little badge with me, a little character badge. And, or I should say a character defect badge. Like a colonel, right, with all the badges. You know, I had the character defect badges. And people like Ron M. being an example to me. And then that's what this process is, as I'm learning, for me it has been about. You know, I had, you know, the first three steps, action steps, right? The first three steps are action steps. We admitted, came to believe, and made a decision. Right? We admitted we are powerless. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. You know, those are the three most important things. That's the foundation of starting to create character and starting to let go of some character defects. You know, you get an example like a Ron M., a person comes into your life and they kind of, a temporary sponsor, they show you how to live a little bit. You know, it doesn't have to be about lying. It doesn't have to be shucking and jiving. It's just living, right? We went to meetings. I mean, in the very beginning, it was just that basic. Let's go to a meeting. Let's pick a time, meet, show up, let's go. We'll do it again tomorrow. And that would be the beginning of rebuilding my character, working on these defects. And I had no idea. I had no idea that that's what I was doing. But by the time you get to the seventh step, by the time you get to the sixth step, hopefully you've really done a lot of work. But like I said, you know, for me, it was all about sobriety. So I didn't really, I took all the first six steps, really six, seven steps, surface stuff. You know, I thought that this was people here to serve me, and didn't realize the serenity side of it would be a whole different point of view for me. And so working the fourth step, and, you know, I was talking to a client yesterday who was, you know, she's sober and she's working on a program, and, you know, and she was talking about, well, I've been trying to get my fourth step. I'm, you know, the tone, I can feel the conversation. I know exactly what she's going to say. I'm trying, but I'm just really struggling to get through it. And I'm like, this is the, and I get that, right? I think this is at that point when I started doing my first four step, I wasn't sure what the fuck I was doing. I'm still just following Ron M. What are we doing? You know, I have no clue. Am I here because I want to get sober, or have I come to the conclusion that I'm here because I just didn't want to have a conversation and then it was the easier way? You know, is this to get myself out of a jam and then hopefully maybe I'll start drinking again? I didn't even know what I was doing at the time. So to understand any of this was very tough. But years later, I would look at these steps now and realize that this is about character, shortcomings, behavior. You know, I've been using the gum example. There's hundreds of those examples. You know, how do you act when you're alone? How do you act when you're around people? How do you act when you're around important people? How do you act when you're around your boss? How do you act when you're around people that are below you? Are you the same person throughout the day? You know, could we watch you all throughout the day? Would you be pretty consistent? Or is your behavior based on your surroundings? You know, Matt was such a big part of my life. You know, but I even have to question that relationship. Did I want to be a better person, or did I want to impress Matt? You know, did I want to be a better person, or did I hope to be brought into a circle of people that were a 10 times higher, better shoe than I was? Right? You know, I was just that Walmart shoe, but these folks, you know, these are the Air Jordan of Air Jordan kind of shoes. These are the top of the line folks. And if I could just get a little glimpse, but that's ego, right? You know, it wasn't about being better or creating better character. It was about feeding my ego. So that relationship over 7 years would evolve. And I've shared some of that. I'm sure I'll share more of it. And then finally, we get to the point where it says, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So you're either looking like God's going to come and do some work, or I need to do some work. Sober Tom, God's coming to do the work. Serenity Tom, I need to do this work. You know, that means I'm entirely ready that when I come face to face with a character defect, even though nobody's looking, nobody's around, I need to push through it and I need to do the right thing. Humbly ask him to remove all of our shortcomings. You know, that's the next thing. When I come up with a shortcoming, and the shortcomings are much more abundant for me than the character defects, right? My character defects to me are, I feel like I've done pretty well. But shortcomings, that's the gum, right? That's the Wawa sugar packets. That's even though the Wawa sugar packet still falls under stealing, I guess, but they're just little shit, little things like this morning, you know, I went to the grocery store. And I was fucking, you know, buying cream cheese and shit. And I'm like, I could easily just toss an extra one of these in the bag. Nobody would ever know. But I would know. And that's different. That's a different Tom. You know, there's a Tom that didn't give a fuck who was looking and who cared what I did. And then there was a Tom that started to care like what a Matt or a meeting or a temporary sponsor was going to think. But my behavior would fluctuate in and out of the presence of different people. And then there's the Tom today that, you know, for the most part, I don't need to have an example around me. You know, I use my higher power. I don't go, oh, geez, I better not, God's watching. But I think that I've just, over time, I've reprogrammed myself. I'm going to do some reading. I've gone long. Whoops. But do you understand what I'm saying? You know, this has nothing to do with drinking either. This is just either bad parenting. You know, I can tell as a parent, I see where I could be stronger, but I don't want to upset the boat. You know, I can see where I could, you know, require more information, but I don't want to upset my teenager because, you know, I still want him to love me. And, you know, sometimes that leads to fucking bad parenting, really. Next thing you know, your kids are a knucklehead, and you're like, shit, I was just trying to get along. All right, August 6th, driven. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Uh-oh. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 62. My selfishness was the driving force behind my drinking. I drank to celebrate success, and I drank to drown my sorrows. Humility is the answer. I learned to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. My sponsor tells me that service keeps me sober. Today I ask myself, have I sought knowledge of God's will for me? Have I done service for my AA group? Great question. Yep. I hope everyone's having a great day. You know, hang in there. I guess for me, it's like, you know, one day at a time, and don't pick up and go to a meeting. And apparently we need to do some more service for our group. See ya.